بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. چلو چلو آ جاؤ. چلو چلو. نو نو آؤٹ آف کوشچن. چلو بیٹھو. یو انڈرسٹینڈ یو مس لاسٹ ویک ایز ویل اینڈ یو کین بی دیئر آل ڈے از جسٹ لائک ناؤ اس لیے چلو ٹھیک.
چلو میں عشاء کے ساتھ پڑھ لوں گا.
میں پتہ پڑھ سکتا ہوں آپ تو نہیں
ہونے کے بعد.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی پریز اللہ, وی تھینک اللہ, وی گلوریفائی اللہ اینڈ وی میگنیفائی اللہ فار گیونگ اس اول ایمان اینڈ اسلام, فار گیونگ اس دا قرآن اینڈ فار گیونگ اس نبی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم whose hadith we study every week. Think what sort of life we would have led, me and you, in the absence of Quran and hadith. Man is lost. Man is lost without wahi. One could be the biggest professor in a university. If he has got no Quran and Hadith in his life, then you see his thoughts, his views, the way he sees life, what his views are. Chances are he might be an atheist. Chances are he might be somebody, a pervert, right? In the sense that he belongs to this group and he belongs to that group. Might be the fact that he feels that this is halal, this is haram. He's got his own views about what is halal and what is haram. And this is the beauty of our deen, that we rely on nobody. We don't rely on man-made laws. Why should I rely on the laws? Who is somebody just as good as me or just as bad as me? I don't want to rely on that person. I want to rely to somebody, a bigger authority. And we have this bigger authority in the name of Allah and His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I don't want anybody to argue that he alayhi salam is just a human being like myself, so why should I rely my information on him? Because whatever he says and discusses, this is directly from Allah. If you look into Quran Ejaz, are you still in Egypt? Look up here, beta. You've got a tan, haven't you? Was it that bad, Ejaz? I'm asking you. Do you enjoy your time? Ji? Charan hamdajit. Back to business. Back to work. Look at Quran, what Allah says about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. No, not this one. The other one before it. ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إسرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم. He is a prophet who gives you the details of what is haram, what is halal. So alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah that Allah has allowed me and you to show our slavery and obedience and our submission to the will of Allah. That way, it's not that we are doing any ihsan and favors on Allah. This is Allah's favor that through this authority of Quran and Hadith, He has guided us. And we are on the right path, differentiating what is halal and what is haram. Moving on from there, you will recall, boys, yes, last week we had a very interesting subject as to how Adhan was initiated, how Adhan came into existence. And alhamdulillah, we had a very interesting lesson in the company of Tariq. Today we would like to move on with the subject. The subject remains incomplete and we want to move on. Let me touch upon the subject of Adhan with giving you more details. I cannot remember whether last week I had mentioned this part, that generally there is a practice of inserting fingers into your ears at the time of giving Adhan. Where does this come from? Abdul Rahman ibn Sa'd ibn Ammar says, who is the muadhin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam besides Hazrat Bilal, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded and instructed Bilal an yaj'ala isbu'aihi fi udhunay. He asked Bilal radiyallahu anhu to insert his fingers into his ears. He alayhi salam asked and instructed Bilal to insert his fingers into the ears at the time of Adhan, and giving the reason, innahu arfa'u li sawtik, this will make you raise your voice even louder. To make the voice even more louder, it has been a practice of inserting the fingers from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is not an Asian practice, it's not an innovation. It's not a bid'ah. This is something that has been running from the time of He alayhi salatu wasalam under His instruction. I would also like to you to know, which me and you we cannot see, but something our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam pointed out. He alayhi salam has mentioned what is the effect when Adhan is given out. What sort of effect does this Adhan have on Shaitan? It's sad that maybe it doesn't affect me and you as much, and we don't become moved and shaked with the Adhan. But when Adhan is given out, what sort of effect does this have on Shaitan? Isko rakh do Tariq. Rakh do isko. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu says, Idha nudiya lis salat adbara shaytan lahu dhuratun hatta la yasma'a ta'zin. He alayhi salam has confirmed that whenever Adhan is given, Shaytan runs away from listening to Adhan. And he runs away saving his life in such a way he runs away that even in the course of running away, he breaks his wind also. He, alayhi salam, says this in the same words. Whilst running for his life, he also breaks his wind. That's how desperately and urgently he runs away from Adhan. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine what sort of effect that should have, that he has to run for his life, and even at that time he becomes so desperate and so out of control that he in due course also breaks his wind. And he reaches as far as he cannot hear the Adhan anymore. In fact, there is a hadith that says that he goes as far as Rawha. Now, Rawha is a place which is approximately 35 miles away from Medina. He, alayhi salam, we don't know. We cannot see how far he's gone, whether he's gone, whether he's broke his wind. We can't tell. However, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, who was equipped with special information, instructions, eyes, ears, senses, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, has confirmed that at the time he runs away from the Adhan, and in relation to the city of Medina, when Bilal gives the Adhan, he runs away as far as 36 miles away up to Rawha. This, I'm mentioning this so that we realize the importance of Adhan and the effect that it has. And believe me, I've noticed this, and you may have seen this as well. Somebody who becomes possessed with jinn and shayateen, somebody who becomes possessed with jinns and shayateen, you read Adhan into his ears, and he cannot take it. He becomes so restless. He screams and he shouts. He cannot take it. تو اللہ تعالیٰ نے شہادتین میں اذان میں اللہ تعالیٰ نے اتنی تاثیر اور طاقت رکھی ہے
سر اس کا مطلب یہ ہوا کہ حضرت بلال کی جو اذان تھی وائس یو مسٹ ہیو بین ویری ویری لاؤڈ ٹو ریچ مسٹ بی اپ ٹو 35 مائلز.
Not necessarily it means that he stopped as soon as far as the voice reached. Maybe out of his own precaution, he went as far as 36 miles away because there was another azan within some other distance that was given out. Otherwise, otherwise, practically, I doubt it if anybody's voice would get as far as 35 miles. But maybe he went much more outside because still within the vicinity of Medina, there were lots of localities where Adhan would be given out at the same very time. So he had to go out of much more further away from Medina where there was no Adhan at all in the vicinity. Not that necessarily Bilal's Adhan would go as far as 36 miles away. No, Allahu Alam. Next, I would like to discuss the adab of Adhan. What are the etiquettes of Adhan? One of the most important adab is to listen to the Adhan. To listen to the Adhan and to be quiet and silent at the time is sunnah and from the etiquettes of Adhan. Imam Abu Hanifa regards this as wajib. When Adhan is given out, you go quiet. You have to be quiet. It's wajib to go quiet, silent. Other schools of thought are of the opinion that whilst it is good to remain silent and to be quiet, but it's not wajib and necessary. If you have to carry out an activity or you have to say things, it is permissible. But of course, better to be quiet. So whilst other schools of thought may show some flexibility of keeping silent whilst azan is given out, Imam Abu Hanifa holds the opinion that it is wajib. Moving on, the way the other three schools of thought, they put it, is to listen to the adhan is sunnah, but to respond to the invitation practically is wajib and necessary. You understand the difference? In other words, it is sunnah to listen. To listen is sunnah, just to listen with your ears. But to listen to the adhan with your feet, in other words, to go to the masjid, to respond to the invitation of adhan, this is wajib and necessary. Go now, follow this adhan. The adhan is calling you to the masjid. Go. To go is wajib and fard. But to listen to the words and to remain quiet is sunnah. Whilst listening to adhan, it is amongst the adab and sunnah that whatever the words are being said by Mu'adhin, they are repeated. The same words are repeated. وعن عمر رضي الله عنه عمر رضي الله عنه reports that Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned إذا قال المؤذن الله أكبر الله أكبر فقال أحدكم الله أكبر الله أكبر. Whenever the muezzin will say الله أكبر الله أكبر, then one of you shall repeat by saying الله أكبر الله أكبر. Then whenever the Mu'adhin says, Ashahadu an la ilaha illallah, he will say, Ashahadu an la ilaha illallah. And whenever the Mu'adhin says, Ashahadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the listener would say, Ashahadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And whenever the Mu'adhin will say, Hayya ala salah, he will say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And whenever the Mu'adhin will say Hayya ala al-Falah, he will say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And whenever he will say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, he also says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then when he says La ilaha illallah, he says La ilaha illallah from his heart. Dakhal al-Jannah, he shall enter into Jannah. Why he shall enter into Jannah? Because he has testified shahada. He has testified iman. And the ultimate consequences and result of iman is entry into Jannah. Whether instantly at the beginning or delayed. From this hadith of Umar radiyallahu anhu, which has been narrated by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, this hadith explains that whatever the muazzin is saying, you need to repeat the same words. This is mustahab and adab. Except with hayya ala salah and hayya ala al-falah, you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And if you say this with your heart, in other words, this proclamation is being made with the heart, in other words, the belief is with the heart, then dakhal al-jannah, you will enter into Jannah. So this is one adab. One adab is to remain silent. Second adab is to respond to the words of adhan by repeating the same words. In hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the reason is because Hayya ala salah means, oh people, come towards salat. So you don't say, oh people, come towards salat. That response doesn't make sense. So what response do you, what does that mean? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That everything is from Allah. Nobody can make any movement. Nobody can move, nobody can do anything without the tawfiq of Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata. Kisi ke paas koi majal nahi hai, kisi ki koi taqat nahi hai ke koi bhi kaam kare siwai Allah ta'ala ki tawfiq ke. So only with the tawfiq of Allah this can happen. So you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is one adab. Second adab is once salat is over. Once salat is over, then you say, Allahumma rabba hadihi da'wati tamma was salatil qa'imah. Look at this hadith. It is reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Idha sami'tumul mu'adhin, whenever you hear the mu'adhin, فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ, then repeat what he has just said. ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَيَّ, then send Durood Sharif on me. Then send Durood Sharif. In other words, repeat the words. Once the azan is over, then what has he mentioned? صَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. Then me read Salat ala Nabi. That's another sunnah as well. That after adhan, first what do you do? Is number one, you read salat ala nabi. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. Fa'innahu man salla alayya salatan sallallahu alayhi biha ashra. Because whoever shall me read salat ala nabi over me, then Allah in return shall send 10 rahmat for him. Then what's next after Durood Sharif? Thumma salullaha li al-wasila. Then ask Allah for me this special position called wasila. Mere liye wasile ki Allah se dua karo. Make dua to Allah that He should grant me this very special position called wasila. What is wasila? Wasila is a very technical term. It's a specific term that refers to a very extraordinary position, which is only one position for the amongst the entire world population or an universal population. There is only one position called wasila. And that position means on the day of Qiyamah that whoever gets this position, he will be entitled to speak on behalf of the entire congregation of the day of Qiyamah. And when he will be allowed to speak that, he will be responded to by Allah positively. Allah will listen to him. Which in other words, this wasila is called Maqame Mahmood. You may have heard this Maqam-e Mahmood means the praiseworthy position. Sometimes it's called wasila. Sometimes it's called praiseworthy position. And it means the same. It means to qualify on the day of Qiyamah for a position wherefrom you will be able to speak on the day when nobody from Ibrahim to any Prophet of Allah would be able to communicate to Allah. And to go in his court to speak to him. So he alayhi salam says, then ask Allah that he should grant this special position, wasila, to me. Thumma salullaha li al-wasila. Then ask Allah for me the special position of wasila. فَإِنَّهَا مَنْزِلَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَا يَنْبَغِي إِلَّا لِعَبْدٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ. Because this is a very special position in Jannah that only one person amongst all the entire creation of Allah can qualify. وَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَنَا هُوَ. And I am very hopeful that that one person who will qualify for that person will be me. he alayhi salam says. But I cannot say it with confirmation, so you make dua that I should get it. It's what he alayhi salam is saying. فَمَنْ سَأَلَ لِي الْوَسِيلَ حَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّفَاعَ. And whoever in the dunya shall ask Allah for this special lofty position for me called wasila, then on the day of Qiyamah, I will return this favor by speaking on his behalf to Allah. My shafaat is halal for him. I will do his sifarish. I will intercede for him. He used to make dua for me for wasila. In return, today I shall speak on his behalf and I will intercede for him. Within this one hadith, there are quite a few adab that we understand about adhan. Number one, you repeat the same words as the muazzin, as he said. قُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ. Repeat the same words as muazzin had said. Number two, he said, read Salat ala Nabi. Number three, he said, ask Allah to grant me this special place called wasila. Then there is a specific dua that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, has taught us how to ask Allah for wasila of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at this. وَعَنْ جَابِرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالْ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من قال حين يسمع النداء. Whoever shall say once he has listened to the adhan, Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma, O Allah, the Lord of this everlasting salat, everlasting invitation. No. O Allah, the Lord of this complete invitation. Da'wati tamma, complete invitation. Complete invitation because adhan is quite complete. It includes everything. Tawheed of Allah, Risalat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inviting for salat, inviting overall towards success. So it's regarded as complete invitation. O Allah, the Lord of this complete invitation and the Lord of this everlasting salat, Ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila. Grant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the position of wasila and fadila. Most probably they both mean the same. I cannot confirm, but inshallah they both mean the same. Grant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the position of wasila and fadila. Wab'athhu maqaman mahmuda alladhi wa'adta. More detail about the same thing. And raise him on the lofty, praiseworthy position called Maqame Mahmood, which you have promised him. Whoever shall say this after azan is complete, Hallat lahu shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, intercession for him is necessary upon me. So here, he alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us the dua in order to ask for wasila for he alayhi salatu wasalam. The other hadith mentioned ask wasila. This hadith is explaining in what words do you ask Allah for wasila. And we are being taught, Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma was-salati al-qa'imah, ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila. وَبَعَثْهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا أَلَّذِي وَعَدْتَهُ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. Bukhari has narrated this. Most authentic hadith on the dua of after adhan is this one. There are some weak hadith where some more addition has been recorded. For example, اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة والدرجة الرفيعة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته وارزقنا شفاعته يوم القيامة. These two additions are proven from maybe very extremely weak chain of narration. But what is authentically proven is this short dua. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma was salati al-qa'imah آتِ محمدًا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعثه مقامًا محمودًا الذي وعدته إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. If somebody makes the addition of وَرْزُقْنَا شَفَاعَتَهُ وَالدَّرَجَةَ الرَّفِيعَ, there is no harm. Good question. When he alayhi salam was not sure and he has asked us to make dua for him for this lofty position, then why in this hadith he mentions that, oh Allah, the dua mentions, oh Allah, giving him wasila and maqam-e mahmood which you have promised him. Maybe in the early years it wasn't confirmed who was going to get it. So he alayhi salam at that time he asked, oh my people, ask Allah that I should get it. Then later on, after some many years, many things were later on confirmed. And later on it was confirmed that yes, we're going to give it to you. Now it's yours. Because now for the last so many years the sahaba have been making the duas probably. Oh, it was already fixed, but Allah had kept it hidden at the time as a surprise. But then later on Allah revealed that yes, it's yours. And this is why now in dua we are reading, oh Allah, the lofty position that you have promised him. Ji, aap kahin reh na jao. Ji, aap muhaddis kya ke kya, ji. So kya?
No, but uska matlab ye bhi hai na ke if agar shafaat tumhe chahiye kya when you most need it, then you have to do these things.
Ji, samjha nahi hu lekin chalo ji. Isme meri bhi salamati hai. Was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam able to see shaitan? I can confirm in the light of hadith that he has seen him, caught him physically on few occasions. On one occasion he said that I caught him and I would have caught him and imprisoned him. But then I remembered Sulaiman alayhi salam's dua that, oh Allah, give me that authority over shaitan and jinns that nobody has. And then out of respect for dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam, I let him go. So no doubt he alayhi salam has come into contact with shaitan. Whether he could see him all the time, I don't know. I doubt it. Whenever there was a need, when Allah wanted him to see certain things, then he would see it. Most probably that is the case. Otherwise, Allah has kept them invisible from mankind, from the eyes of mankind. It's only exceptionally with the prophets or some more people. Whenever Allah wanted, for whatever reason, minor or major, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal that and would show it, and it happens most with the prophets. So they can discuss that because they've seen it with their eyes, they can discuss whatever they have seen with their people. God. Aap inke saath class mein nahi baithte, aap mere saath baithte ho. Haan, bas. जहां मैं होता हूं मेरे साथ हो बस वो अच्छा लगे सुना आसान
आपके लिए आया हूं
सर बस मेरे लिए ही आओ
मैं कौन हूं सर कुछ नहीं
बोलना बस आपने बोलना भी नहीं आप चुप रहो आप सिर्फ मेरा दर्द सुनो मेरा नहीं अल्लाह और उसके रसूल की बातें सुनो हदीस सुनो वहां बैठ जाओ मेरे सामने
ठीक है
नहीं नहीं अब वहां बैठ जाओ میں تم پر توجہ ڈالتا ہوں. میرے شیخ ہوں صحیح صحیح بیٹا. چلو سنو, اس میں تھوڑا سی تبدیلی لے آؤ بیٹا. سنو, سب کے لیے سبق ہے. Our deen is not about personalities. Our deen is not about personalities, about me, about my sheikh, about my ustad, about him, about this. Our deen is all about only one and only being Allah. Of course, then under him, under that name of Allah, in order to reach him, we need Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then again, to reach to them, we need asatidha and shuyukh and mashayikh. But the main purpose and object and purpose should not be defeated because of whoever is under that now. So what you need to do, Hassan, I don't want you to be here for me. I want you to be here for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. کہ یہاں قرآن اور حدیث کا درس ہو رہا ہے.
اور اگر وہ راہ میں کسی کا بے ادبی ہو جائے, کیونکہ وہ دل سے لگا ہوا ہے, دل کو نہیں کر سکتا, نہیں بتا سکتا. میں تو پاگل سے آدمی, آپ جانتے ہو, لیکن میں
You may have noticed, boys, that in also in the dua after adhan we read raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. I don't want you to know, I don't want you to think that this is Masjid-e-Umar innovation like many other innovations of Masjid-e-Umar. Okay, Hassan. You start with Hassan. I can already see you trembling there. جی ہاں, میں وہ سناتا ہوں بیٹا. عن سعد بن ابی وقاص رضی اللہ عنہ قال قال رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم من قال حین يسمع المؤذن اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ وان محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ رضیت باللہ ربا وبمحمد رسولا وبالاسلام دینا غفر له ذنبہ. He علیہ السلام has said, whoever listens to the adhan, after listening to adhan, he says, اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ, I also give witness that there is no God except Allah alone. And I give witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is servant and his messenger. And after that he says, Raditu billahi rabba, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. Wabi Muhammadin Rasula, and I am pleased with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my Prophet. And I am wabil Islami Dina, and I am pleased with Islam as my religion and way of life. Whoever will say this, غُفِرَ لَهُ ذَنْبُهُ, his sins will be forgiven. رواه مسلم, Imam Muslim رحمت اللہ علیہ has narrated this hadith. So it is also sunnah to read رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا following, listen tuning to azan. This is also from hadith. Now, words may vary هي رضيت بالله ربا وبمحمد رسولا وبالإسلام دينا. On another occasion when we have been asked to read the morning and evening duas, there the words recorded are slightly little, the order is a little different. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد نبيا ورسولا. Inshallah, that shouldn't make much difference as long as we are saying this رضيت بالله. Specifically for Maghrib Salat, once Azan is done or somewhere at that time near Azan time of Maghrib, it is also Sunnah to read something that you may not have heard before. And it'll be nice if you catch these words now as I speak, so you could also read these words at Maghrib time. Hadi hada iqbalu laylik وإدبار نهارك وأصوات دعاتك فاغفر لي. أم سلمة رضي الله عنه, and she is our honorable mother, wife of he عليه السلام, she reports, she said, علمني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أقول عند أذان المغرب اللهم هذا إقبال ليلك. She said, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught me these words to be read during the adhan of Maghrib. What are the words? Allahumma hadha iqbalu laylik. Oh Allah, this time is the time for the night to arrive. And it's the time for the day to depart. And it's the time when the voices of your magnitude and of your glory are being raised. Wa aswatu du'atik. In other words, Azan is being given out everywhere, all around the world at this time. Faghfirli, so do forgive me. Allahumma, hadihi iqbalu laylik, wa idbaru naharik, wa aswatu du'atik, faghfirli. Rashid, bolo. Inshallah, good. Hassan,
nahi main to pagal hu, main to pagal hu. Come on, padho padho ji, padho beta, bolo padho. Allahumma hadihi,
Allahumma hadihi.
Kaun Abu Bakr, chalo Abu Bakr is very intelligent boy. Let's see Abu Bakr. Wa idbaru نهارك دعاتك. ما شاء الله, good, not bad. حسان,
اللهم هادي إقبال نهارك
ليلك
ليلك وأدبار دعاتك
نهارك
وأصوات دعاتك دعاتك
دعاتك
جي.
عبد الكريم, إِدْ وَإِدْبَارُ دُعَاتِكْ فَغْفِرْ لِي. ما شاء الله. Ikram again is very intelligent boy. Let's see Ikram.
اللهم هادي إقبال ليلك وأدبار نهارك وأسوات دعاتك فغفر لي.
ما شاء الله. Ji Tariq, very intelligent man, very wise man, very knowledgeable man.
I'm always in trouble.
You're always in trouble. May Allah bless you in your knowledge. Ejaz. Wa idbaru. God, mashallah, I'm proud of God, intelligent boys. Let's see, beta Huzaifa. Ji? No, you're a clever, good boy. Omer? Who else? Who else can have a go? Suhaib? du'atik. MashaAllah, good. Again, once again, Allahumma hadhihi iqbalu laylika wa idbaru naharik wa aswatu du'atik. Time for the arrival of the night, departure of the day, and time of raising your name. Faghfir li, so Allah, do pardon me with the blessings of this very special time when night is falling, the day is departing, azans is echoing everywhere in the world. O Allah, with the blessing of this very emotional time. In other words, forgive me. Yes. Those are sunnat as well, and this is sunnat as well, so you can read both, that is best. It can be read any time, either before Maghrib or just be after the, better I think after Adhan. The word says, Allamani an aqula inda Adhan al Maghrib, at the time of Maghrib Adhan. It doesn't specifically say in between the Adhan or just before the Adhan or just after the Adhan. And sometimes during Adhan could mean just before, it could mean just after, it could mean just in between. So everything should be okay. In other words, as long as you say it at that time of Maghrib Adhan and Salat time. So this is something new that we should learn today, and we should add at Maghrib time, at Adhan time. Allahumma hadhihi iqbalu laylik. وَإِدْبَارُ نَهَارِكْ وَأَصْوَاتُ دُعَاتِكْ فَغْفِرْ لِي. It is also proven that sometimes he alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would hear the azan, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, which means I give witness that there is no God except Allah, rather than he repeating the whole sentence, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, at times, maybe under the certain circumstances, he would only say, wa ana. And what does that mean? I also give witness. Also me too. Let's see. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reports, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سمع المؤذن يتشهد قال وأنا. She reports that he عليه الصلاة والسلام, at times when he would listen to the مؤذن giving shahada, means saying أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, he عليه الصلاة والسلام would say وأنا, me too. So this is also proven for Adhan. So far we have learnt as to what the listeners should be saying in reply to the Adhan. Question is, what should the listeners be saying in reply to the Iqamat? In reply to the Iqamat, you can say the similar words. In other words, when you say Allahu Akbar, the listeners could also say Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Although specifically there is no hadith in that I can see here where reply to Adhan has been recommended, just as the reply to Adhan has been recommended. However, in reply to Aqamaha Allahu, there is hadith, in fact, sorry, my mistake. Sorry, I'm reading this hadith out to you. 66. Wa Nabi Umamah radiyallahu anhu wa ba'd ashabi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, إِنَّ بِلَالًا أَخَذَ فِي الْإِقَامَةِ. Sahabi reports that one day Bilal radiyallahu anhu started with Iqamah. Do you understand Iqamah? The takbir just before starting the Salat. So Bilal started giving Iqamah. فلما ان قال قد قامت الصلاه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اقامها الله وادامها. When Bilal said قد قامت الصلاه قد قامت الصلاه, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in reply said اقامها الله وادامها. May Allah establish salat and may Allah keep it forever. Because what is the Muazzin saying? قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. Salat is about to be established. Salat is about to be started. So he alayhi salam is saying, yes, may Allah keep it established. And may Allah keep it running forever. So yes, there is a reply for iqamat. Especially at the time of قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, it is proven that he alayhi salam has said أَقَامَهَا اللَّهُ أَقَامَهَا اللَّهُ وَأَدَامَهَا. وَقَالَ فِي سَائِرِ الْإِقَامَةِ كَنَحْوِ حَدِيثِ عُمَرْ فِي الْأَذَانِ. Yes, this is the mistake I made. And he alayhi salam repeated the same words with the rest of the words as reported in the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu. Remember, I've read the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, that when Muazzin says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the listener should say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu an la ilaha illallah. So, and in the rest of the iqamah words, in the rest of the words of iqamah, he alayhi salatu was salam repeated like the rest, like what has been mentioned in the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu. In other words, when the muqim is who? The person who says iqama is called muqim. Muqim is also somebody who is in his homeland in terms of journey, that is also muqim. And muqim in adhan is also a person who gives iqamat, is called muqim. And the person who gives adhan is called mu'adhin. Mu'adhin. And person who gives iqamat is called muqim.
Generally, it's good practice whoever gives adhan.
Ji, main aa raha hoon. Ji, main aa raha hoon. Next is, I would like as a next subject and subtitle is what are the virtues of giving adhan? The virtues of giving adhan are plenty. Haji Safdar Shah knows them all, and Shah Sahib even knows them even more. An Muawiyah radiyallahu an. قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول المؤذنون أطول الناس أعناقا يوم القيامة. On the day of Qiyamah, the muadhin are going to be the tallest in the crowd. They are going to be the tallest in the crowd. Literal translation is they will be most tallest by necks. They will be the tallest by necks. Okay, the neck. And what that refers to, it means they're going to be the tallest. And what does it mean by tallest? In other words, they are going to stand out. In other words, the position they will hold amongst the rest of the people is going to be much more higher than the rest of the people. In other words, they can keep their heads high. Ye bhi ho sakta hai ke they will stand there in the crowd with dignity and pride. Maybe it refers to that, not necessarily the height. In other words, there is a difference of opinion as to what is the interpretation of they will stand there with their necks high. What does that mean? Does it mean that literally their height is going to be much more taller than the rest? Or does it mean they will stand there in the crowd with pride? Either way. So yes, Safdar Shah may not be as tall here, but on the day of Qiyamah, he will stand out in the crowd with pride.
Check his neck.
Yeah, you can do it. وَعَنْ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يسمع مدى صوت المؤذن جن ولا إنس ولا شيء إلا شهد له يوم القيامة. He عليه السلام has said, no member of jinn kind or no member of mankind or anything else that will hear muadhin giving azan on the day of qiyamah, that same person will give shahadat, will bear testimony and witness for the person who had given azan, saying that, oh Allah, I give witness that he had given azan. In other words, as far as the voice of the muadhin will spread and will reach all those creation to whom the azan will reach, all of those creations, whether it's mankind from the jinn kind or from other living creatures, they will all bear testimony for him on the day of Qiyamah. He alayhi salatu wa salam has given dua for the imams and for the muadhin. He said, Al-a'im al-imamu daminun. Imam is accountable. He is accountable for the salat of the congregation. Yes, it's not easy. You just stand up, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdi. No, it's a very big responsibility. وَالْمُؤَذِّنُ مُؤْتَمَنٌ. And muadhin are also trusted. People have put trust in their timings. If muadhin has given azan, everybody takes it for granted that salat time has entered. So imam is accountable. And muadhins are trusted with the times. And then he said, اللَّهُمَّ أَرْشِدِ الْأَئِمَّةِ. O Allah, guide the imams. وَغْفِرْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And do forgive the believers. I think, I'm not sure if وَفِي أُخْرَى بِلَفْزِ الْمَصَابِيحِ. Not sure why it's not وَغْفِرْ لِلْمُؤَذِّنِينَ. Anyhow, there is a hadith that whoever gives us azan for 7 years, whoever shall give azan for 7 years, next, what should be the distance and the duration between adhan and iqama? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has confirmed this. He said in a hadith, he said to Bilal radiyallahu anhu, he was the muazzin, he said, waj'al bayna adhanika wa iqamatika qadra ma yafrughu al-akilu min aklihi wa sharibu min shurbihi وَالْمُعْتَصِرُ إِذَا دَخَلَ لِقَضَاءِ حَاجَتِهِ. He said, keep enough distance between adhan and the iqamat so that whoever is eating may be over with his eating. Whoever is drinking and having his tea, coffee, etc., let him be over with that. Whoever has gone to answer the call of nature, let him be over with that. That is the sort of duration should be kept between azan and the iqama. Neither the distance should be so long that people know that, oh, we've still got a long way to go. Neither it should be so short that you've just reminded now and immediately you're starting salat. This is generally for all salats except maghrib. Maghrib, because there is no sunnat in between, and there are no nafals necessary or sunnahs in between, maghrib salat will be given out, iqama will be given more or less immediately after the iqam, after the adhan. So again, what sort of duration to be kept? This is also, we have been mentioned by directly he alayhi salatu wassalam. That is common sense. Umar was asking about what is the ruling about who should give the adhan and who should give the iqama. Again, that has been mentioned in hadith. Ziyad ibn Haris al-Sudai is a sahabi. He said that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he asked me to give adhan. And I gave adhan. It was Fajr time. And Fajr azan, he asked me to give azan and I gave azan. When it was Iqama time, Bilal radiyallahu anhu, who generally used to give adhan, he was now getting ready to give Iqama. فَقَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ أَخَى سُدَى قَدْ أَذَّنَ وَمَنْ أَذَّنَ فَهُوَ يُقِيم. That the Sudai Sahabi, he had given adhan, and keep the ruling that whoever gives the adhan should give the iqama, out of respect for his adhan, because he was there early. He is the one who's called the people initially for adhan. And this stands as then as a rule, rather than people at that time, because there are so many people at that time who can be ready to give iqama, to save from this fitna, the standard rule is whoever gives the adhan should give the iqama. So now everybody knows who should be giving it, rather than everybody looking at one another, who's giving, shall I give, shall I give, shall I give. So there is no confusion. Whoever has given the adhan, he should give iqama. So yes, it happened in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One sahabi gave Fajr azan. Bilal radiyallahu anhu had intention to give iqama for that Fajr salat. He alayhi salam stopped him and he said, whoever gives azan should give iqama. Gee, any question about azan itself for iqama? There is no harm. You are allowed to give iqama sitting on your chair from wherever you are. But this good practice has been running for many centuries, that muqim stands behind the imam. So rather than somebody from the corner calling out the iqama, chances are his voice will not spread everywhere. Person who is in the middle, who started the row first, he gives iqama. So it's a good practice that the person from the middle, in the middle, he gives iqama. But masla-wise, if somebody gives it from any other place of masjid, whether sitting or standing, iqamat is done. All right, that was the question. With the chair in the middle of the row, and then it distracts the people who are behind, because then you will be standing, sticking out of the rest of the people in the row. There's so much disruption with the person in the middle of the row sitting in the chair. This is why it is a good practice if people who are on the chair, they are kept on the sides. And also it blocks the view of the imam. So better people who are on the chair, they stay on the side. This is a controversial and debatable issue. You will see there are some schools of thought who do have two rakat salat after Maghrib, which they quickly read before Maghrib. Imam Abu Hanifa certainly is not of the opinion that this is sunnah.
चलो अजान दे दो. कौन अजान देगा? الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة الصلاة القائمة آتي محمد الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعثه مقاما محمودا الذي واته إنك لا تخلف الميعاد رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر أن الفلك تجري في البحر بنعمة الله ليريكم من آياته إن في ذلك لآيات لكل صبار شكور. وإذا غشيهم موج كالذلل دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين فلما نجاهم إلى البر فمنهم مقتصد وما يجحد بآياتنا إلا كل ختار كفور. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما لا يجزي والد عن ولده ولا مولود هو جاز عن والده شيئا إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت إن الله عليم خبير. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله